إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. May I request, just before I start, if the brothers can come as close to the front as is possible. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وإن من شيعته لإبراهيم. The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allahumma salli alayhi wa sallam. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Arguably the greatest myth ever created concerning Shi'ism is the myth that the Shi'a were formed by a Yemeni Jew called Abdullah ibn Saba'. This myth is one that requires a thorough analysis, for indeed it is a myth which has affected the lives of many Muslims in the world today. And indeed, a topic which requires an examination from a number of angles. For indeed, this is a topic which affects us theologically, legally, ethically, as well as spiritually. And indeed, a topic with a historical basis and a contemporary significance. Until today, many people in the world, outside of the school of Ahlul Bayt, believed that the Shia were originated by a Yemeni Jew called Abdullah ibn Saba. Until today, there are a number of books which are published, which are actually titled The Shia of Ibn Saba', or The Saba'is, or The Formation of the Shia by Abdullah ibn Saba'. When many Shia hear the name Abdullah ibn Saba', they begin to wonder who is this personality. As in the eyes of many Shia, there is no way that they were formed by a person who was originally a Jewish man from Yemen. However, many non-Shia actually believe that the Shia were formed by this Yemeni Jew who was the man who inspired many of the Shia to honor Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, who inspired many of the Shia to believe in what they believe in today, who wrote for the Shia many of their beliefs theologically, and is a man who had a major influence on Islamic history, especially at the time of Uthman, and after the death of Uthman in the time of Ali. Would you believe that if you were to go to certain Islamic countries in the world today, and when you introduce yourself as a Shia, the reply that would come is, so you are the people who were formed by Abdullah ibn Saba'. When you reply and ask, sorry, who is Abdullah ibn Saba'? They say, you the Shia know who he is. He's a Yemeni Jew, and he's the one who originated your teachings. Many Shia would turn around and say, hold on, my teachings are originated from the Prophet and continued in the line of the family of the Prophet. Yet you would find many would come forward and say that no, if you were to read the books of history, especially a book like Tariq al-Tabari, Saif ibn Umar introduces Ibn Saba', and Ibn Saba' is the man who caused the friction in the lives of many Muslims. Because what do they say? They say when Aisha and Ali fought each other, it wasn't because Aisha and Ali didn't like each other. No. It was a Yemeni Jew who caused them to hate each other. Typical Muslims throw the Jew always in the middle. You find that the idea was what? The idea was that the Yemeni Jew is the one who caused all the trouble. Aisha and Ali used to respect each other. Abu Dhar and Uthman used to respect each other. Ammar and Uthman used to respect each other. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Uthman used to respect each other. The man who came and caused the trouble for the Muslims in those early years was a Yemeni Jew. And that Yemeni Jew, Abdullah ibn Saba, is the man who formed the Shia. And that's why today there are still certain lecturers in Islamic universities, especially if you go towards Saudi Arabia where they tend to preach such nonsense. You find that especially in countries like that, they will say the Shia are formed by Abdullah ibn Saba, a Yemeni Jew who came and caused major trouble in Islamic history. Let us tonight dissect the origin of this Abdullah ibn Saba and the origin of Tashayyu' and see where is the link that brought a Yemeni Jew to making our school today. Let's dissect this in a number of stages. Number one, what is the meaning of the word Shia? And where is it used in the Quran? And what are the myths that have been created similar to this one which people still believe in today? Number two, Saif ibn Umar, who is the man who originated the forgery of Abdullah ibn Saba. What do our brothers in Ahlul Sunnah say about Saif ibn Umar? And which other stories has Saif ibn Umar concocted in Islamic history? Number three, if there are some of our works which mention Ibn Saba, how do they mention him? And how important is the way they mentioning him to highlighting he has nothing to do with our beliefs? Number four, how was Abdullah ibn Saba used as a scapegoat to cover the early problems in Islamic history, especially to cover the problems that surrounded Uthman's caliphate? Number five, which famous Arab scholars until today say Abdullah ibn Saba is a myth and a forgery of Saif ibn Umar? And number six, if Abdullah ibn Saba originated the Shia, then why didn't the members of the family of the Prophet use his name when they went on their mission towards the land of Karbala? Let's examine this and dissect this topic in complete depth. Many people today in the world have become aware of the Shia. About 30, 40 years ago, one may argue, the term Shia was not known by many at all. If you went to many parts of the world, it was rare for people to know the term Shia. Yet ever since 1979, you found that more and more people became aware of a group of people by the name of the Shia. You find that when people became more and more aware, this increased, as in the more you found wars which originated in countries like Iraq or Iran. May I request, just before I start, if the brothers can come as close to the front as is possible. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. May I request, just before I start, if the brothers can come as close to the front as is possible. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول: إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. May I request, just before I start, if the brothers can come as close to the front as is possible. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن من شيعته لإبراهيم. The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allahumma sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Arguably the greatest myth ever created concerning Shi'ism is the myth that the Shi'a were formed by a Yemeni Jew called Abdullah ibn Saba'. This myth is one that requires a thorough analysis, for indeed it is a myth which has affected the lives of many Muslims in the world today. And indeed, a topic which requires an examination from a number of angles. For indeed, this is a topic which affects us theologically, legally, ethically, as well as spiritually. And indeed, a topic with a historical basis and a contemporary significance. Until today, many people in the world, outside of the school of Ahlul Bayt, believe that the Shia were originated by a Yemeni Jew called Abdullah ibn Saba'. Until today, there are a number of books which are published, which are actually titled The Shia of Ibn Saba', or The Saba'is, or The Formation of the Shia by Abdullah ibn Saba'. When many Shia hear the name Abdullah ibn Saba', they begin to wonder, who is this personality? As in the eyes of many Shia, there is no way that they were formed by a person who was originally a Jewish man from Yemen. However, many non-Shia actually believe that the Shia were formed by this Yemeni Jew, who was the man who inspired many of the Shia to honor Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, who inspired many of the Shia to believe in what they believe in today, who wrote for the Shia many of their beliefs theologically, and is a man who had a major influence on Islamic history, especially at the time of Uthman, and after the death of Uthman in the time of Ali. Would you believe that if you were to go to certain Islamic countries in the world today, and when you introduce yourself as a Shia, the reply that would come is, so you are the people who were formed by Abdullah ibn Saba'. When you reply and ask, sorry, who is Abdullah ibn Saba'? They say, you the Shia know who he is. He's a Yemeni Jew, and he's the one who originated your teachings. Many Shia would turn around and say, hold on, my teachings are originated from the Prophet and continued in the line of the family of the Prophet. Yet you would find many would come forward and say that no, if you were to read the books of history, especially a book like Tariq al-Tabari, Saif ibn Umar introduces Ibn Saba, and Ibn Saba is the man who caused the friction in the lives of many Muslims. Because what do they say? They say when Aisha and Ali fought each other, it wasn't because Aisha and Ali didn't like each other. No. It was a Yemeni Jew who caused them to hate each other. Typical Muslims throw the Jew always in the middle. You find that the idea was what? The idea was that the Yemeni Jew is the one who caused all the trouble. Aisha and Ali used to respect each other. Abu Dhar and Uthman used to respect each other. Ammar and Uthman used to respect each other. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Uthman used to respect each other. The man who came and caused the trouble for the Muslims in those early years was a Yemeni Jew. And that Yemeni Jew, Abdullah ibn Saba, is the man who formed the Shia. And that's why today, there are still certain lecturers in Islamic universities, especially if you go towards Saudi Arabia, where they tend to preach such nonsense. You find that especially in countries like that, they will say, the Shia are formed by Abdullah ibn Saba, a Yemeni Jew who came and caused major trouble in Islamic history. Let us tonight dissect the origin of this Abdullah ibn Saba and the origin of Tashayyu' and see where is the link that brought a Yemeni Jew to making our school today. Let's dissect this in a number of stages. Number one, what is the meaning of the word Shia? And where is it used in the Quran? And what are the myths that have been created similar to this one which people still believe in today? Number two, Saif ibn Umar, who is the man who originated the forgery of Abdullah ibn Saba. What do our brothers in Ahlul Sunnah say about Saif ibn Umar? And which other stories has Saif ibn Umar concocted in Islamic history? Number three, if there are some of our works which mention Ibn Saba, how do they mention him? And how important is the way they mentioning him to highlighting he has nothing to do with our beliefs? Number four, how was Abdullah ibn Saba used as a scapegoat to cover the early problems in Islamic history? Especially to cover the problems that surrounded Uthman's caliphate. Number five, which famous Arab scholars until today say Abdullah ibn Saba is a myth and a forgery of Saif ibn Umar? And number six, if Abdullah ibn Saba originated the Shia, then why didn't the members of the family of the Prophet use his name when they went on their mission towards the land of Karbala? Let's examine this and dissect this topic in complete depth. Many people today in the world have become aware of the Shia. About 30, 40 years ago, one may argue, the term Shia was not known by many at all. If you went to many parts of the world, it was rare for people to know the term Shia. Yet ever since 1979, you found that more and more people became aware of a group of people by the name of the Shia. You find that when people became more and more aware, this increased, as in the more you found wars which originated in countries like Iraq or Iran or Lebanon, you found more and more people becoming to hear of Shia theology or Shia thought or Shia ethics or Shia leadership. Therefore you found many people began to re-question the myths which they had been taught about the Shia. You see, until today, many people are taught myths about the Shia. You find when you ask the question, what is the meaning of Shia? The word Shia is mentioned in the Quran on six occasions. And when the word Shia is mentioned in the Quran or mentioned in Arabic, what does the word Shia mean? As in, imagine someone came to you now and said to you, excuse me, are you Shia? You say, yes, I am. What does Shia mean? This word Shia, what does it mean? In the Quran, the word Shia is used clearly to denote a group or the followers of. So when you say the Shia of someone, it denotes a group or the followers of someone. For example, the verse I quoted at the beginning of my lecture, Surah 37, verse 83. وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ. And from his Shia was Ibrahim. Nabi Nuh, this verse refers to Nabi Nuh. The Nabi Nuh amongst his followers in terms of his belief, were who? His followers were Prophet Ibrahim. Because Prophet Ibrahim, as we know, came after Prophet Nuh.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to denote the idea of following in belief, Allah in the Quran said what? وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ.
Because today you ask some Shia, excuse me, Shia's mentioned in the Quran, they'll tell you yes, but they don't know where.
2012 isn't a time where you don't know where, you won't survive.
2012 is a time you need to know where. Otherwise you won't survive intellectual conversation.
When you ask a person, where is the word Shia? The word Shia, Surah 37 verse 83, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ. And from the Shia of Nabi Nuh was Nabi Ibrahim. Here the word Shia has a theological tone. Meaning what? Meaning that Nabi Ibrahim followed the belief of Nabi Nuh. Sometimes the word Shia in the Quran means I'm just a follower of someone in the idea that I'm on the same group as them. What do we mean? We mean, for example, many of you would have read the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam in the Quran. In Surah 28 verse 15, you know when Nabi Musa alayhi salam goes out in the middle of town and there are two people who are fighting each other. One is an Egyptian and one is from Bani Israel. Nabi Musa tries to stop the fight between the two. The Quran describes the two of them by saying, هذا من شيعته وهذا من عدوه. One is from his Shia and one is from his enemies. What do we mean? The children of Israel, the person who was fighting, is from the Shia of Nabi Musa. Not Shia meaning they believe he's the prophet. No, Shia can also mean what? Shia means I'm your group. As in you come from children of Israel, I'm from the children of Israel. So we're together. هَذَا مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوَهِ. The Quran said he was from the group of Musa, the Shia, and he was from the enemies. In other words, Shia can be relating to a person who you follow, you are his Shia. I can be the Shia of Hussein, or I could be the Shia of Yazid, isn't it? Can I be the Shia of Yazid? Yes, of course I can. Because the word Shia means follower. Later, theologically, Shia came to denote the idea of what? Theologically, Shia came to denote those who, for example, believe in the messengerhood of the Holy Prophet, follow the Quran, and they believe in the Imams of Ahlul Bayt as designated by Allah, infallibles who have received knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, Shia by itself, if it's got nothing to do with religion, Shia by itself means what? Means follower of. That's why I remember Imam Hussein on the 10th of Muharram, when he's lying on the ground and he calls out, O Shia of Umar bin Sa'ad. Many of you would have heard this. If you don't believe in a religion, you don't believe in the hereafter, at least be free men. Many of you have heard this. When Imam says, O Shia of Umar bin Sa'ad, O Shia of Abu Sufyan. Does that mean Shia that they believe in the religion of Abu Sufyan? No, it means they're the followers of Abu Sufyan. Therefore the word Shia means the follower. In religion, the word Shia refers to a group of people with such a ideology. Would you believe that this group of people who had the belief in Allah and His Prophet and the Quran and the Imams, later the myths about them which would be created were horrendous. And you know what the sadness is? The people who made these myths knew they were lies. But he knows very well that he's getting money for making myths. So he begins to make myths about the Shia that people still believe in until today. Let me give you a few examples. Vali Nasr has written the book, The Shia Revival. Within the Shia Revival, he indicates that the Shia in the world today are undergoing a revival. Everywhere you look, Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Bahrain, Syria, Shia are rising and rising. He goes, but do you know how many myths were created about these Shia that we're slowly sweeping away? Let's see some of these myths. He says, for example, there's a myth that when the Shia finish their Salah, you know how many Shia go? So the myth is that the Shia say after they finish their Salah, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. Amin is who? Jibra'il. So they say Jibra'il made a mistake, Jibra'il made a mistake, Jibra'il made a mistake. This is the comedy shows we have out there in Islamic literature. That may have been a small splinter sect of the Shia called the Ghurabiyya. The Ghurabiyya used to say such a concept. They have nothing to do with the Imamis or the Ithna Asharis. They are an extremist sect who used to say that Jibra'il made a mistake. Instead of going to Ali, he went to Muhammad. So after Salah, what we should say is Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. Jibra'il made a mistake, Jibra'il made a mistake, Jibra'il made a mistake. Tell me, when you come to our mosques and you sit down after Salah, have you ever heard the Shia saying Khan al-Amin, Khan? Many Shia don't even know what Khan means. Let alone if you come and say Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. No, People say after Salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, in following the Sunnah of the Prophet. That's one myth. Another myth, when the Shia come and cook you food, then be careful because they'll spit in the food before they give it to you. Another myth, the Shia have tails.
Wallah, I haven't seen any tail on my body, I tell you.
Another myth is that the Shia have tails, and when they're walking, you could tell that the Shia have a tail. Like I'm some sort of animal that was created by Allah with a tail as well. Another myth, the Shia and Muharram, they switch off their lights for 10 nights, and the woman and the men commit adultery with each other. And this was a myth which was spread in Pakistan in the 80s especially. In the mid-80s in Pakistan, to cause destruction between Muslims, they spread the myth that you see with the Shia and Muharram when they come to remember Imam Hussein, they switch their lights off and their people commit adultery with them. In other words, there were many myths which were created by the Shia. Arguably the highest and the greatest myth that exists until today is which one? Is the myth of Abdullah ibn Saba. The idea that the Shia were begun by a Yemeni Jew called Abdullah ibn Saba. We ask the question, Abdullah ibn Saba, who is the man who narrates Abdullah ibn Saba started the Shia? There's only one man who narrates him, and that is Saif ibn Umar al-Tamimi. Saif ibn Umar is the man who says that Abdullah ibn Saba started the Shia. When we hear Saif ibn Umar is the one who started this, we need to examine his life, isn't it? As in, I want to know, who's this Saif ibn Umar? Is he someone trustworthy? Because if he's someone trustworthy, then maybe he has a point, as in, forget if I was Shia or Sunni. If I wasn't Shia or Sunni, and I see that Abdullah ibn Saba started the Shia, and that who told me he started the Shia? Saif ibn Umar. I go and research Saif ibn Umar to see. Imagine I'm a Sunni now. I go to research Saif ibn Umar. Saif ibn Umar, no man like him in Islamic history, has been accused of being a liar, a heretic, an atheist, a weak narrator, untrustworthy like Saif ibn Umar al-Tamimi. This Saif ibn Umar lived up until the time of 170 after Hijrah, and this man was known to be a liar and a heretic. And yet you find someone like Tabari, through the chain of someone like Sarib ibn Ismail, then Saif ibn Umar, they would take from Saif ibn Umar, and they take about Abdullah ibn Saba. Look at the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. Look what they say about Saif ibn Umar, the man who said Abdullah ibn Saba started the Shia. They say Saif ibn Umar, according to Yahya ibn Mu'in, Al-Hakim, Abu Dawood, Al-Nasa'i, you find, for example, Ibn Hibban, all of them say, Saif ibn Umar is a forger and a liar. Do not take any narration he gives. All of them. They say, Saif ibn Umar, what was he? He finds gaps in Islamic history. May I request, just before I start, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. May I request, just before I start, if the brothers can come as close to the front as is possible. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ. The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma sallam.
the second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices, in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Arguably the greatest myth ever created concerning Shi'ism is the myth that the Shia were formed by a Yemeni Jew called Abdullah ibn Saba. This myth is one that requires a thorough analysis, for indeed it is a myth which has affected the lives of many Muslims in the world today. And indeed a topic which requires an examination from a number of angles. For indeed this is a topic which affects us theologically, legally, ethically, as well as spiritually. And indeed a topic with a historical basis and a contemporary significance. Until today, many people in the world outside of the school of Ahlul Bayt believe that the Shia were originated by a Yemeni Jew called Abdullah ibn Saba. Until today, there are a number of books which are published which are actually titled The Shia of Ibn Saba, or The Saba'is, or The Formation of the Shia by Abdullah ibn Saba. When many Shia hear the name Abdullah ibn Saba, they begin to wonder who is this personality. As in the eyes of many Shia, there is no way that they were formed by a person who was originally a Jewish man from Yemen. However, many non-Shia actually believe that the Shia were formed by this Yemeni Jew who was the man who inspired many of the Shia to honor Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, who inspired many of the Shia to believe in what they believe in today, who wrote for the Shia many of their beliefs theologically, and is a man who had a major influence on Islamic history, especially at the time of Uthman and after the death of Uthman in the time of Ali. Would you believe that if you were to go to certain Islamic countries in the world today, and when you introduce yourself as a Shia, the reply that would come is, so you are the people who were formed by Abdullah ibn Saba. When you reply and ask, sorry, who is Abdullah ibn Saba? They say, you the Shia know who he is. He's a Yemeni Jew and he's the one who originated your teachings. Many Shia would turn around and say, hold on, my teachings are originated from the Prophet and continued in the line of the family of the Prophet. Yet you would find many would come forward and say that, no, if you were to read the books of history, especially a book like Tariqh al-Tabari, Saif ibn Umar introduces Ibn Saba, and Ibn Saba is the man who caused the friction in the lives of many Muslims. Because what do they say? They say when Aisha and Ali fought each other, it wasn't because Aisha and Ali didn't like each other. No, it was a Yemeni Jew who caused them to hate each other. Typical Muslims throw the Jew always in the middle. You find that the idea was what? The idea was that the Yemeni Jew is the one who caused all the trouble. Aisha and Ali used to respect each other. Abu Dhar and Uthman used to respect each other. Ammar and Uthman used to respect each other. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Uthman used to respect each other. The man who came and caused the trouble for the Muslims in those early years was a Yemeni Jew. And that Yemeni Jew, Abdullah ibn Saba, is the man who formed the Shia. And that's why today there are still certain lecturers in Islamic universities, especially if you go towards Saudi Arabia where they tend to preach such nonsense. You find that especially in countries like that, they will say the Shia are formed by Abdullah ibn Saba, a Yemeni Jew who came and caused major trouble in Islamic history. Let us tonight dissect the origin of this Abdullah ibn Saba and the origin of Tashayyu' and see where is the link that brought a Yemeni Jew to making our school today. Let's dissect this in a number of stages. Number one, what is the meaning of the word Shia? And where is it used in the Quran? And what are the myths that have been created similar to this one which people still believe in today? Number two, Saif ibn Umar, who is the man who originated the forgery of Abdullah ibn Saba. What do our brothers in Ahlul Sunnah say about Saif ibn Umar? And which other stories
has Saif ibn Umar concocted in Islamic history? Number three, if there are some of our works which mention Ibn Saba', how do they mention him? And how important is the way they mentioning him to highlighting he has nothing to do with our beliefs? Number four, how was Abdullah ibn Saba' used as a scapegoat to cover the early problems in Islamic history? Especially to cover the problems that surrounded Uthman's caliphate. Number five, which famous Arab scholars until today say Abdullah ibn Saba' is a myth and a forgery of Saif ibn Umar? And number six, if Abdullah ibn Saba' originated the Shia, then why didn't the members of the family of the Prophet use his name when they went on their mission towards the land of Karbala? Let's examine this and dissect this topic in complete depth. Many people today in the world have become aware of the Shia. About 30, 40 years ago, one may argue, the term Shia was not known by many at all. If you went to many parts of the world, it was rare for people to know the term Shia. Yet ever since 1979, you found that more and more people became aware of a group of people by the name of the Shia. You find that when people became more and more aware, this increased, as in the more you found wars which originated in countries like Iraq or Iran or Lebanon, you found more and more people becoming to hear of Shia theology, or Shia thought, or Shia ethics, or Shia leadership. Therefore you found many people began to re-question the myths which they had been taught about the Shia. You see, until today, many people are taught myths about the Shia. You find when you ask the question, what is the meaning of Shia? The word Shia is mentioned in the Quran on six occasions. And when the word Shia is mentioned in the Quran, or mentioned in Arabic, what does the word Shia mean? As in, imagine someone came to you now and said to you, excuse me, are you Shia? I say, yes, I am. What does Shia mean? This word Shia, what does it mean? In the Quran, the word Shia is used clearly to denote a group or the followers of. So when you say the Shia of someone, it denotes a group or the followers of someone. For example, the verse I quoted at the beginning of my lecture, Surah 37, verse 83. وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ And from his Shia was Ibrahim. Nabi Nuh, this verse refers to Nabi Nuh. The Nabi Nuh amongst his followers in terms of his belief were who? His followers were Prophet Ibrahim. Because Prophet Ibrahim, as we know, came after Prophet Nuh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to denote the idea of following in belief, Allah in the Quran said what? وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ Because today you ask some Shia, excuse me, Shia's mentioned in the Quran, they'll tell you yes, but they don't know where. 2012 isn't a time where you don't know where, you won't survive. 2012 is a time you need to know where. Otherwise you won't survive intellectual conversation. When you ask a person, where is the word Shia? The word Shia, Surah 37 verse 83, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ And from the Shia of Nabi Nuh was Nabi Ibrahim. Here the word Shia has a theological tone. Meaning what? Meaning that Nabi Ibrahim followed the belief of Nabi Nuh. Sometimes the word Shia in the Quran means I'm just a follower of someone in the idea that I'm on the same group as them. What do we mean? We mean, for example, many of you would have read the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam in the Quran. In Surah 28 verse 15, you know when Nabi Musa alayhi salam goes out in the middle of town and there are two people who are fighting each other. One is an Egyptian and one is from Bani Israel. Nabi Musa tries to stop the fight between the two. The Quran describes the two of them by saying, هَذَا مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ One is from his Shia and one is from his enemies. What do we mean? The children of Israel, the person who was fighting, is from the Shia of Nabi Musa. Not Shia meaning they believe he's the prophet. No, Shia can also mean what? Shia mean I'm your group. As in you come from children of Israel, I'm from the children of Israel. So we're together. هَذَا مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوَّهِ The Quran said he was from the group of Musa, the Shia, and he was from the enemies. In other words, Shia can be relating to a person who you follow, you are his Shia. I can be the Shia of Hussein, or I could be the Shia of Yazid, isn't it? Can I be the Shia of Yazid? Yes, of course I can. Because the word Shia means follower. Later, theologically, Shia came to denote the idea of what? Theologically, Shia came to denote those who, for example, believe in the messengerhood of the Holy Prophet, follow the Quran, and they believe in the Imams of Ahlul Bayt as designated by Allah, infallibles, who have received knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, Shia by itself, if it's got nothing to do with religion, Shia by itself means what? Means follower of. That's why I remember Imam Hussein on the 10th of Muharram, when he's lying on the ground and he calls out, "Oh Shia of Umar bin Sa'ad." Many of you would have heard this. If you don't believe in a religion, you don't believe in the hereafter, at least be free men. Many of you have heard this. When Imam says, "Oh Shia of Umar bin Sa'ad," oh Shia of Abu Sufyan. Does that mean Shia that they believe in the religion of Abu Sufyan? No, it means they're the followers of Abu Sufyan. Therefore, the word Shia means the follower. In religion, the word Shia refers to a group of people with such a ideology. Would you believe that this group of people who had the belief in Allah and His Prophet and the Quran and the Imams, later the myths about them which would be created were horrendous. And you know what the sadness is? The people who made these myths knew they were lies. But he knows very well that he's getting money for making myths. So he begins to make myths about the Shia that people still believe in until today. Let me give you a few examples. Vali Nasr has written the book, The Shia Revival. Within The Shia Revival, he indicates that the Shia in the world today are undergoing a revival. Everywhere you look, Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Bahrain, Syria, Shia are rising and rising. He goes, but do you know how many myths were created about these Shia that were slowly sweeping away? Let's see some of these myths. He says, for example, there's a myth that when the Shia finish their salah, you know how many Shia go? So the myth is that the Shia say after they finish their salah, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. Amin is who? Jibra'il. So they say, Jibra'il made a mistake, Jibra'il made a mistake, Jibra'il made a mistake. This is the comedy shows we have out there in Islamic literature. That may have been a small splinter sect of the Shia called the Ghurabiyya. The Ghurabiyya used to say such a concept. They have nothing to do with the Imamis or the Ithna Asharis. They are an extremist sect who used to say that Jibra'il made a mistake. Instead of going to Ali, he went to Muhammad. So after Salah, what we should say is Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. Jibra'il made a mistake, Jibra'il made a mistake, Jibra'il made a mistake. Tell me, when you come to our mosques and you sit down after Salah, have you ever heard the Shia saying Khan al-Amin, Khan? Many Shia don't even know what Khan means. Let alone if you come and say Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin, Khan al-Amin. No, people say after Salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, in following the Sunnah of the Prophet. That's one myth. Another myth, when the Shia come and cook you food, then be careful because they'll spit in the food before they give it to you. Another myth, the Shia have tails.
Wallah, I haven't seen any tail on my body, I tell you.
Another myth is that the Shia have tails, and when they're walking, you could tell that the Shia have a tail. Like I'm some sort of animal that was created by Allah with a tail as well. Another myth, the Shia and Muharram, they switch off their lights for 10 nights, and the woman and the men commit adultery with each other. And this was a myth which was spread in Pakistan in the 80s especially. In the mid-80s in Pakistan, to cause destruction between Muslims, they spread the myth that you see with the Shia and Muharram when they come to remember Imam Hussein, they switch their lights off and their people commit adultery with them. In other words, there were many myths which were created by the Shia. Arguably the highest and the greatest myth that exists until today is which one? Is the myth of Abdullah ibn Saba'. The idea that the Shia were begun by a Yemeni Jew called Abdullah ibn Saba'. We ask the question, Abdullah bin Saba, who is the man who narrates Abdullah bin Saba started the Shia? There's only one man who narrates him, and that is Saif ibn Umar al-Tamimi. Saif bin Umar is the man who says that Abdullah bin Saba started the Shia. When we hear Saif ibn Umar is the one who started this, we need to examine his life, isn't it? As in, I want to know, who's this Saif bin Umar? Is he someone trustworthy? Because if he's someone trustworthy, then maybe he has a point. As in, forget if I was Shia or Sunni. If I wasn't Shia or Sunni, and I see that Abdullah bin Saba started the Shia, and that who told me he started the Shia? Saif ibn Umar. I go and research Saif ibn Umar to see. Imagine I'm a Sunni now. I go to research Saif ibn Umar. Saif ibn Umar, no man like him in Islamic history, has been accused of being a liar, a heretic, an atheist, a weak narrator, untrustworthy like Saif ibn Umar al-Tamimi. This Saif ibn Umar lived up until the time of 170 after Hijrah, and this man was known to be a liar and a heretic. And yet you find someone like Tabari, through the chain of someone like Sari ibn Ismail, then Saif ibn Umar, they would take from Saif ibn Umar, and they take about Abdullah ibn Saba. Look at the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. Look what they say about Saif ibn Umar, the man who said Abdullah ibn Saba started the Shia. They say Saif ibn Umar, according to Yahya ibn Mu'in, Al-Hakim, Abu Dawood, Al-Nasa'i, you find, for example, Ibn Hibban, all of them say Saif ibn Umar is a forger and a liar. Do not take any narration he gives. All of them. They say Saif ibn Umar, what was he? He finds gaps in Islamic history and he makes stories in the middle to make certain personalities look good and other personalities look bad. Remember a few nights ago I mentioned Ibn Abi al-Awja. I said that Ibn Abi al-Awja said, I have forged so many hadiths that I made the halal haram and the haram halal. I made people fast on the day of Eid and I made people do Eid when they should have been fasting. This man lived at the same time as him. These people were known as malicious liars. And do you know how they used to lie? If you pay them a certain amount of money, they will change a story in history, which everyone believes in, they'll change it to suit a particular personality. Someone says to me, saying, Ammar, what do you mean? This man, if you look within his history, Saif ibn Umar, has got some of the most ridiculous stories you will ever hear. And not only ridiculous, certain personalities in history who everyone knows performed a certain act, he makes an excuse for why it wasn't them. And certain personalities who did perform an act, he makes an excuse for why it was them. What do we mean? This Saif ibn Umar, for example, you know what he says? He says when Abu Bakr became Khalifa, Ali ibn Abi Talib was in his house. As soon as Ali ibn Abi Talib heard that Abu Bakr became Khalifa, he was only wearing a shirt at home. Of course, Ali ibn Abi Talib only walks around his house in a shirt. Says Ali ibn Abi Talib was wearing a shirt at home. As soon as he heard Abu Bakr became Khalifa, he opened the door and ran to Abu Bakr wearing a shirt only. And all the Muslims could see Ali ibn Abi Talib with only his shirt on, nothing else. And he came to Abu Bakr and said, oh Abu Bakr, I pledge my allegiance to you. You are my Khalifa in this world and the hereafter. Every Muslim knows Ali ibn Abi Talib very clearly, whether you're a Sunni or a Shia. Ali ibn Abi Talib, for 6 months after Abu Bakr became Khalifa, there was no interaction in the sense of any pledge of allegiance between him and Abu Bakr. Every Muslim, except Saif ibn Umar. Saif ibn Umar said, no. Ali ibn Abi Talib, as soon as he heard, he ran out only wearing his shirt. Ali ibn Abi Talib, of course, didn't have time to wear pajamas. So what he did, he only wore his shirt and he ran towards Abu Bakr and he pledged allegiance. This is one incident of Saif. Another of Saif's myths, you know how many? They list so many myths of Saif. Another of the myths of Saif is what? Saif says, Rasulullah said, which of you will ride the camel and hear the dogs of the Hawab? When you hear the dogs of the Hawab, the barking dogs of the Hawab, turn around and go back. Rasulullah was warning his wives, wasn't he? He was saying, listen, one of you is going to ride a camel one day and you're going to proceed towards a war. When you hear dogs barking, turn around. Every book in history says Aisha, the wife of Rasulullah, was riding her camel. She heard the dogs of the Hawab barking. When she heard the dogs of the Hawab barking, she said, are these the dogs Rasulullah referred to? Are these the dogs Rasulullah said? Are the dogs of the Hawab? I have to turn around. So every book in history says that her companions said, no, this is not the dogs, it refers to something else. Saif ibn Umar says, it wasn't Aisha who was on the camel. It was Zimil. Sorry? Zimil. Who's Zimil? He said, Aisha had a servant called Zimil. And she was on a camel and she heard the dogs, but she didn't turn around. So Rasulullah was referring to Zimil. In your life, have you heard of Zimil? No, you haven't, but Saif ibn Umar has. Saif ibn Umar, he brought Zimil right into the middle of the picture. Let me give you another example. Khalid ibn al-Walid, according to our brothers in Ahlul Sunnah, is Allah's chosen sword, isn't he? They call him Saif Allah
Maslul. Khalid ibn Walid, when Rasulullah died, Abu Bakr became Khalifa. Abu Bakr ordered people that they have to pay him the taxes because he's become Khalifa. And whoever doesn't pay him taxes is killed. Khalid ibn Walid went around to people, ordering them, you pay tax, you're alive. You don't, we kill you. Because sometimes people ask me, said Ammar, how comes people after Ghadir, after Rasulullah died, why didn't people support Amir al-Mu'mineen? No, there were people supported, they were beheaded. You go to town and you behead. If a person doesn't give zakat to Abu Bakr, he says, I'm not giving zakat to the man who wasn't chosen on Ghadir. You don't give zakat to the man who wasn't chosen on Ghadir, then we'll behead you. Khalid ibn al-Walid went to the town which was led by Malik ibn Nuwayra. Malik ibn Nuwayra used to collect taxes on behalf of Rasulullah and send them to Medina. Malik ibn Nuwayra was known as a man of generosity, a man of trustworthiness. You know what Khalid ibn Walid did? He came into that town. He knew Malik ibn Nuwayra collects taxes for Bani Hanbala. He came to him and he said to him, Malik was there with his people. What are you doing? He said, it's time for prayers. Okay, let's all pray together. So they all prayed together. When they all prayed together, he said, put everyone's weapons down. Everyone put their weapons down. When they're coming to pray, Khalid comes and kills all of them. And then sleeps with the wife of Malik the same night. In Islam, someone dies, there's Idda period, isn't there? Same night or the next day, the narrations differ. He is with the wife of Malik ibn Nuwayra. Everyone says, Umar ibn al-Khattab said to